This is Central Time. The EPA announced new rules this week that would lead to a complete ban on asbestos in American manufacturing. The rule would remove the last form of asbestos in use in the country. The naturally occurring mineral is still used in some products in the U.S. in spite of being responsible for 40,000 deaths each year. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you or a loved one had mesothelioma or another illness from asbestos? Do you think it should be completely banned? Do you work in a line of work where you encounter asbestos often? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Crispin Pierce is a professor of public health and environmental studies at UW-Eau Claire. Crispin, thanks a lot for joining us today.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for this opportunity to talk about asbestos.
And asbestos is off the market in most cases where people, I think, would run into it in home use and things like that. What kind of things are we still doing with this one kind of asbestos that's leading this EPA rule?
Right. Well, this kind of asbestos, amongst all the types in American homes, is about 95% used generally as insulation. So we're talking about insulating pipes, boilers, ducts, flues, and even insulation for electrical and heating purposes.
Right. That we don't so much do anymore, right? If I'm getting new insulation, it's probably not going to be asbestos, but the old stuff might well have asbestos.
Indeed, that's exactly correct. Also, some brake parts, aftermarket parts, brake linings, and clutch linings still do contain asbestos. So we're talking about an older house stock, buildings built before in the 1950s, even in the 1960s and earlier, still have these asbestos-clad pipes, vents, ducts in their basements often.
What is the health hazard from asbestos? We see estimates, as I mentioned, of 40,000 deaths a year. What is it about the substance that makes it a health hazard?
It's actually the shape and the chemical properties of asbestos. It's a naturally occurring mineral, one of the most common in the soil. We think about 100,000 people worldwide die each year, and there are about 100,000 Americans who were exposed during shipbuilding that are affected. It's very difficult for the lung to clear, so the ratio is at least five times as long as they are wide. So they get deep into the lung, and they're very, very difficult to remove. So the typical diagnostic tool is to do a chest x-ray and see these dense particles in people's lungs. The true actual way to find out if somebody died of asbestos and mesothelioma is actually during autopsy. Mm. We can actually cut open the body and actually see the asbestos fibers that have accumulated in lung tissue.
And obviously it sounds like they don't go away on their own.
That's right. It's a terminal disease, very, very sad disease, difficult to treat. It causes difficulty breathing related to emphysema, and it's untreatable. It's a disease that we know a lot more than we did 50 years ago, but sadly, we don't have a treatment for it.
What are the properties of asbestos that made it so useful, that it was so widely used in so many different ways?
Right. It's been used for about 5,000 years, starting with the fins and used in pots because it's very strong. It doesn't catch fire. It insulates both with heat and electricity. So it's been a very valuable tool, for example, in World War II during shipbuilding for the insides of ships, the pipes, the steam boilers, the ducts, and very valuable in homes. So it's a very valuable product for many industrial uses. Again, as I mentioned, brake linings and clutch linings. But now we know, just like we know about lead, that it causes major health effects.
One of the industries that's still using this, that's been objecting to this ban, at least the timeline of it, is the industry that makes chlorine to be used for drinking water, for sanitizing drinking water. I just learned this from this EPA rule. Part of that industry still uses these asbestos filters in the process. This sounds like something that could be replaced. There are other ways to make the chlorine that we use for drinking water. How big a worry do you have? How big a burden do you think it could be to change those remaining industries over?
Yes, I think that's what's happening right now. So the ban is on importation of chrysotile asbestos, one of the six forms of asbestos. And as you mentioned, that is used in the production of clean drinking water and chlorine, which we use to sanitize most of the water in this country. So there is going to be a phase-out time frame in which the EPA works with industries to find better ways to produce this. And there are several new ways to actually produce this chlorine, not using the asbestos jackets or membranes.
Now, this new ban from the EPA, you know, this is the final rule. There's a procedure. It takes a little while for it to be implemented. It's under a Toxic Substance Control Act of 1976. This goes back a long way. The EPA had tried to crack down on this before. The Supreme Court, I believe, said, no, that's overreaching that law. Congress passed a new toxic substance law in 2016. Can you talk a little bit about the long history of efforts to rein in asbestos?
Well, it's typical to many substances in our environment that have been very useful to industry. So, for example, lead was very valuable, even DDT if we look internationally. Both of those substances have really valuable uses. Lead in terms of lead paint stays on longer, it looks better, it's more attractive. DDT because it is effective in treating mosquitoes. So there's been this balance between EPA regulation and then the people who use asbestos, like W.R. Grace and Company. And it's unfortunately to me as a toxicologist, it's a little frustrating because we don't always deal with things based upon just their health risk, their economic benefits to many industries. So there's a balance between how EPA regulates and how industry responds. And we're seeing that balance play out now with asbestos.
Crispin Pierce is a professor of public health and environmental studies at UW-Eau Claire. He's talking to us about EPA's new asbestos ban rule that was announced this week. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Are you glad to see this action? Do you worry about asbestos? Have you or a loved one suffered health consequences from it? Have you had to do asbestos remediation in a building, your own home, or maybe a workplace? Or do you work in asbestos remediation? Love to hear from you, too. Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our talk with Crispin Pierce, Public Health and Environmental Studies Professor at UW-Eau Claire, about the EPA's asbestos ban, the final rule announced this week. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your questions, your thoughts on the idea of banning asbestos. If you have work or worked somewhere where you encounter asbestos, let us know about it, 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Let's bring on a caller. Carolyn is with us in La Crosse. Carolyn, hi.
Hi. I have 8-inch square linoleum on my kitchen floor, and somebody mentioned to me that that linoleum tile has asbestos in it, or maybe the glue.
Carolyn, thanks for the call. Crispin, I'm not sure. I know you mentioned at home we might encounter asbestos in insulation. Might we encounter it in various kinds of tile, linoleum or otherwise?
Yes, Carolyn, that's not uncommon. Even at the university here, we have asbestos in the tile. The principal issue is whether or not it becomes airborne. So if the tile is in good condition, if it's covered up by carpet in case our university, it's not a health risk. It's when those particles get airborne, it's called being friable, that we have concerns. So I would suggest that if your tile, linoleum tile, is in good condition, you shouldn't be concerned. If it's starting to break up or you're going to do some remodeling, get an asbestos contractor to come in, see if asbestos is in the tile, and then get it properly remediated.
Carolyn, thanks a lot for the call. Hope that helped. Kathy is with us in Johnson Creek. Kathy, hi.
Hi. I just have a quick question for the gentleman. A friend of mine who did unfortunately pass away, she worked in the art room, and she had said before she passed, I bought, you know, the lining of my organs, that's where it came from. And that was her intuition. And then I read recently in New York Times, they're discussing the lining of your organs affected from asbestos. And I was wondering what the gentleman read about that because, or knew about that, because he talks about the lungs and, you know, airborne, but it affects the lungs, but it also affects the lining of your organs.
And Kathy, I'm sorry to hear that. I just want to clarify, your friend thought that asbestos was a factor for her?
She did. She goes, I was very healthy. She ate well. And she said, the only thing I've ever been exposed to is that crazy kiln room where they had, you know, the low ceilings and dust was all over the place.
Kathy, thanks a lot for the call. Crispin, you talked about the impact on lungs. Can asbestos affect other organs as well?
Yeah, thank you very much, Kathy. I'm very sorry for the loss of your friend. Asbestos does cause a disease called mesothelioma, which is the lining of the lung. So indeed, on a chest x-ray, if we see scarring, the beginning of, it's called interstitial fibrosis, but basically scarring of the lung and the no longer functioning of the lung, and that can lead to inflammation and then the kind of cancer called mesothelioma. So indeed, that would be diagnosed again with a chest x-ray to actually look at the fibers and where they may have been placed in the lung.
Kathy, thanks for that call. Mesothelioma is the one I've heard of most, Crispin. Are there other health consequences of asbestos that might not be included just in the numbers for mesothelioma?
Yes, asbestos causes irritation, inflammation, and scarring of the lung tissue. So chronic obstructive lung disease, emphysema, difficulty breathing are sadly all the consequences of this kind of fibrous material. Similar things with silicosis, flour and dust in industrial setting, a long-term exposure to all of these substances, these solid substances, can cause that scarring and lack of function of the lung.
Kathy, thanks for that call. Barbara joins us now in Wauwatosa. Barbara, hi. What did you want to bring up?
The literature still seems mixed on the crestotile of whether it was good asbestos or bad asbestos and the long-term health effects. And it always says that the macrophages will remove the crestotile from your body. But then they'll say, oh, it could be a 50-year or 40-year time bomb waiting to go off. So is it truly a health hazard? And is it underdiagnosed when people have been? I mean, it just seems like it's out there, dangerous, and not really given a lot of, weight.
Barbara, you mentioned this literature make a distinction between good and bad asbestos. What would the good asbestos be as that's described? You mentioned use in epoxy.
The long fiber versus the short-term fiber.
Gotcha.
Some of the paints and epoxy adhesives, they used a super fine grind.
Gotcha.
And they said that it was easily removed through the macrophage process in your lung. And I would highly doubt. I would think the smaller the fiber, the deeper it could get in your lung tissue.
Barbara, thanks for the call. Crispin, is this something you've looked at, shorter fiber asbestos, but the argument being maybe less harmful?
You know, thank you, Barbara, for the question. All six forms of asbestos, including chrysotile, serpentine, all of these are considered carcinogenic by the EPA and the Institute for Research on Cancer, IARC. The difficulty sometimes is that there's a latency period, about 20 years for most asbestos-caused cancers. So it's sometimes difficult to associate a particular exposure with the appearance of disease because that may take 20 years. But all forms of asbestos are considered carcinogenic in humans.
Thanks for that call, Barbara. Lyric is with us in Blanchardville. Lyric, hi.
Hi. I live in Blanchardville, and I had a building that needed to be demolished, and I got a lot of variance of $40,000, $50,000 in demolishing the building. And finally, a nice contractor out of Mount Horeb advised me. He said, you need to get a hold of the state of Wisconsin, has a list of licensed contractors who will first come and take lab samples and send them to a licensed lab, and when that comes back, we know what's dangerous and that's been removed, and you use a licensed person or company to remove the asbestos from your home. That finished for me in just this last just before Thanksgiving, day before Thanksgiving of November, and it cost $35,000.
Wow.
To go through that process. Now what happens is people cheat, and other people they don't believe in the disease that it causes. And also, they have contractors who say, oh, if you've got a hose nearby, I'll just hose the building down and keep the dust down. And they're putting it in landfills close to waters, and it's going right into our water systems.
Lyric, thanks a lot for the call. Crispin, Lyric speaking, I think, to the importance of doing it right when you're tearing down stuff with asbestos in it.
Absolutely right, Lyric. Thank you for the call. It is a major concern in part because we don't see this. We don't see asbestos fibers unless there's a very high concentration. We like to go to the State Lab of Hygiene in Madison, and for a low cost, they will provide materials for you to collect samples and send them in. Indeed, I would go with a licensed asbestos inspector and contractor to do this work. Again, as I mentioned before, the latency period means that after demolition, it may be 10 or 20 years before we start to see the appearance of disease. But particularly in that circumstance, when we're having a lot of airborne materials, we just took down two dorms on University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire campus, and all the asbestos was removed ahead of time. And then we did some testing for look at what was in the air afterwards. But certainly go with a licensed contractor or the State Lab of Hygiene to collect those samples to see if asbestos still remains on the site.
Lyric, thanks for that call. Crispin, a few minutes ago, you mentioned silicosis, and I know this is something you've worked on, the risks associated with silica particles in the air and workplaces and elsewhere. I've seen arguments that we've underestimated the risks. What kind of things are you looking at?
Well, our work actually for the last decade or so has been around frac sand mines in Wisconsin. And what we've done is we put air monitors near these facilities to look up what the concentration of what's called PM2.5, fine particulates, are in the air. We actually have found some risk that leads to a small decline in life expectancy for people who are exposed to these kind of particles. Silica, and particularly crystalline silica, is particularly dangerous in this regard. So what we have done is we've installed about 50 monitors around the state of Wisconsin, so people are empowered to find out what's in their air.
And how about at workplaces that work with different kinds of silica sand? That seems like the highest risk of acute exposure.
You're exactly right, Rob. I appreciate that. So we get most of our data about understanding how people get sick from silica or asbestos from occupational settings. People who were shipbuilders back in the 1940s, people who do crushing or grinding pottery work with silica, who work with this on a regular, a daily basis or a lifetime. That's how we estimate the relationship between what's in the air, the concentration, and the risk of disease.
In our last few moments, Crispin, getting back to asbestos, how long are we going to be dealing with this as a health concern, even as this one last kind gets banned?
I'm hopeful that this is a major step forward. Again, the major type of asbestos was now banned for import in the United States. I'm hopeful that we will continue as a society, and the Environmental Protection Agency continues to advise us of the kind of risks of other kinds of asbestos. So I'm actually quite hopeful with this major step forward to protect homeowners, to protect workers, to protect people in neighborhoods from asbestos exposure.
Crispin, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us.
You're welcome. Thank you, Rob.
That's Crispin Pierce, professor of public health and environmental studies at UW-Eau Claire. He talked with us about the EPA's asbestos ban with final rules released this week. And we looked at the history of the use of asbestos and why it is such a health risk in the first place. If you have experience with this, maybe in the workplace yourself, still interested in hearing your story, you can email ideas@wpr.org. That's ideas@wpr.org. Coming up tomorrow on The Morning Show with Kate Archer Kent, get a preview of Wisconsin's April elections, from a presidential primary to many local elections around the state for mayors, school boards, city councils, and more. You can join the conversation. Let us know what's going on in your part of the state. That's tomorrow morning at 7 here on the Ideas Network.